Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And what's the problem there?
I got a human foot.
Have a what?
A human left foot.
What's your name?
My name's Shannon Wilson, and this plum nasty got me grossed out.
Hey everybody, this is Paco, and today on SupDoc, I recap the 2015 documentary Finders Keepers with comedian Chris Dorn. You can also watch Finders Keepers on Netflix. We get into a lot of different subjects, like comedy and music and Chris's background in comedy as well, plus an unexpected and sad surprise. Finders Keepers is about amputee John Wood, who finds himself in a stranger-than-fiction battle to reclaim his mummified leg from businessman Shannon Wisnick, who found it in a grill that he bought at an auction. Finders Keepers is a frequently hilarious, sometimes sad, but ultimately touching look into a legal battle between two men, each of whom lays claim to a severed human foot. That's right, a severed human foot. My guest, Chris Dorn, could be seen opening for headliners like Felipe Esparza and Dave Chappelle, as well as doing his own strong headlining sets. He can be heard on the podcast That's That and his YouTube show, Newsdick. And now, here's Chris. I'm here with comedian Chris Dorn.
Hello.
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 And we are talking about today the 2015 documentary Finders Keepers.
Finders Keepers.
The finest of keepers.
It was an amazing documentary.
Right?
One of the most amazing I've ever seen. It put me in an emotional roller coaster.
It is an emotional roller coaster for documentary.
And you know, I have family in Oklahoma. I grew up in that area. And I know those people.
Mm-hmm.
I know the people. This documentary took place in the Carolinas, right? Like,
yeah.
North Carolina or
yep.
something. And man, there's a endearing, loving group of folks that this documentary is based around, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a crazy story.
It is a crazy story. It's a nutty documentary, and it's one that you and I have talked about doing.
Yeah.
We weren't sure because we were going to do, what was the other one we were going to do? Do you remember?
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't.
But we also, though, commiserated over.
Oh, Quincy.
Oh, yeah, Quincy, the Quincy Jones documentary,
yeah.
Which is awesome. And both, by the way, both of these are on Netflix. So you can still watch Finders Keepers on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, you should really watch this documentary.
Yes.
Because it literally has everything.
It does. It's about a guy who, a quick synopsis. He lost his foot in a plane crash.
Right.
Put his foot in this smoker grill and put it in storage. It's like when you pack shit in storage. He's like, where am I going to put my leg? Because he wanted to preserve his leg, and they gave it to him.
Yeah.
But he wanted the skeletal remains of it, and they gave it to him with like skin on it and fingernails or toenails and shit.
Yeah.
So he takes it, puts it in the smoker, puts it away in the storage. He, in the plane crash, he lost his dad and stuff. He had a traumatic experience and went on drugs and then put the fucking thing, couldn't pay for the storage.
Right.
Then this guy auctioned off, what's his name? Shannon?
Shannon Wisnut.
Shannon Wisnut.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Let's slow the roll for a second.
Yeah, I will. I know I'm going fast.
No, that's fine. Because this doc has, like I said, it has everything in it. So let's maybe break it up into thirds. So we're talking about, there's two guys that it mainly focuses on.
Yes.
John Wood and your boy, Shannon Wisnut.
Yeah.
And so we basically, at the very beginning, were introduced to John and Shannon in their homes in North Carolina. And the story starts to unfold that that John had put his leg in storage and that Shannon
bought the storage locker, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then Shannon calls 911.
Yes.
And says,
I got this human leg in the thing. And the dude on the thing is like, you got what? He almost do what it.
He almost do what it.
He almost do it. You got what? I said I got a human foot in my smoker grill. It's grossing me out. Get someone over here right away.
And so they do, apparently, because they talk to a cop.
Mm-hmm.
They talk to a cop, and the cop says, the only good place for a missing body part is the funeral home. So they apparently come get it, and then they take it to the funeral home.
Yep.
Right? So
the town funeral home in, what town was this in? Maynard.
Yeah, something like that. Maiden.
Maiden.
Maiden, North Carolina.
Maiden, North Carolina.
Yeah. And so then we start finding out more about, like, the story behind the plane crash,
mm-hmm.
Which I guess happened in 2004.
Is why the man lost his leg, John Wood.
Right.
Why he lost his leg. He was amputated after a plane crash.
Yeah. Which...
tragedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of tragedy around this plane crash.
He had his son-in-law, right? Or his brother-in-law in the plane with him?
He had his brother-in-law and his
brother-in-law's son.
And his nephew, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. And his dad are in the plane.
And his dad.
Right. And then we start to learn a little bit more about John Wood and his background, which mm-hmm. is like you get the feeling that Shannon, who is the living embodiment of
Cartman,
which is insane. You yeah. brought that up. Here's the other thing that we didn't mention is that we just watched this doc.
Yes.
Not for the first time, but
we each watched it together. We were talking about we need to both watch it again. So we were like, let's just watch it together and then do the podcast.
Yeah. Because there's so much in this. And I guess I watched it almost 3 years ago now, which is incredible because it came out in 2015. And then right after I saw it, I tweeted to Shannon. And I was like, this is incredible. And he was like, hey, thanks, man, or something. And I didn't realize it's been 3 years. That's crazy.
Incredible documentary.
Yeah. So we start to learn more about John Wood and his family, which through Shannon's, like what he's saying is like, this guy grew up real
rich
wealthy.
And his dad was the man in town. The kids on the John Wood side, his siblings were very open to being like, hey, dad gave us everything, you know. The mother was like, yeah, whatever the kids wanted, they got. They lived that kind of life. It was a very happy family.
Yeah, it looked like it because they have lots of like old footage. They have like family footage and they show like the estate.
They have an estate. You know, John Wood doesn't know Shannon, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Like growing up, he didn't know who he was.
Right.
He's just some dude that lives in the town.
Right.
It's a small town, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So everybody kind of knows everybody. But when you're an elite like that, maybe right. he didn't know him.
Right.
Right.
Or maybe they weren't that close. In
yes.
proximity.
Didn't know him enough.
Right.
And then, but Shannon was like, yeah, I know who John Wood
yeah.
is. Yeah, yeah. I know. And like kind of animosity, you know, like the rich dude that has everything.
Yeah. You can see the contempt in Shannon's face.
Yes. When he's explaining it.
When he's explaining this stuff, mm-hmm. man. And I tell you what. I mean, if the eyes are the window to the soul, like this in this documentary, if you just watch everyone's eyes in this documentary, it tells you everything. It's incredible.
Oh, it's real. That's yeah. what I love about it. It's so fucking real, man.
It's
These people are in it, man.
Yeah.
This is their life, you know?
Yeah. And it's hard because like it's so funny. The editing in this documentary is so well done. It's edited kind of as a comedy, but it's more of like there's so much tragedy in this as well. Like it's pretty incredible. Like the editing is so well done. But so yeah, we start to find out that John Wood grew up in some wealth and his dad was like a well-known businessman in town.
Mm-hmm.
And then there seems to be some contempt because Shannon's like, you know, if you didn't go over to John Wood's house, you were nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
If you didn't have your birthday party at John Wood's house, you were nobody. And then he's like, well, I guess I was a nobody, you know. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, he doesn't like this dude already.
He doesn't like this dude and hasn't for 40 years or whatever.
Now he's got his foot in a smoker grill that it got at an auction.
Right.
That John Wood was falling on hard times doing drugs.
Yeah, and then the status is flipped. Mm-hmm. Now the rich man's poor and the poor man's rich.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to charge people $1 for kids and $3 for adults to come here and look at this lake.
So let's talk about that for a bit. As the doc progresses, what Chris is talking about is that Shannon's got ideas for this foot.
Yes.
And one of the ideas is to not basically, but to set up a roadside attraction where people can come and come look at the foot.
And he was getting a lot of local media coverage from the news and stuff. Oh, my God. He started getting a little popular and feeling that fame in this small town. That's something that he's always wanted, attention and fame and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know,
What the fuck? Fame, man. So this is something I never really... Here's an idea I've never put together about this doc, but I'm going to try to articulate it now. But so it's like Shannon is chasing fame and John is chasing drugs and alcohol. So like I never thought about the parallels.
Yes.
In this fucking documentary. Oh my God.
Because, you know, Shannon, I guess they sort of vilified him, but not really. This doc was it was just a great story. The way they told the story was amazing. It was beautifully done. I got a heart for Shannon, you know, like I felt bad for the dude. Like I know what he was doing, but his background with his dad not paying attention to him. And like, he has a lot of issues going into the reason he's thinking this, you know, it's like, damn, man.
Yeah.
You just feel bad for him. It's like, fuck it. I can relate as a comic, and I'm sure you can too, about chasing that dream, wanting to make people laugh.
Right.
You know, I know he's a good human being. He loves his wife. Like in the documentary, he loves his wife and
his mom.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're always there. And, you know, he's ornery. I love him. I got love for him.
He
man.
Is ornery.
I love that.
Yeah.
I grew up with you know, uncles and stuff, right. Man, just in Oklahoma that are just as ornery, that are just as that are him.
Yeah.
You know, they probably had those dreams.
Sure.
Shit. I have them.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
well, we both have. I mean, anytime you get into the entertainment business, if someone says they're not doing it for fame and fortune, they're lying.
When Shannon was talking about, well, we'll get to that later. But, you know, there's a point where he walked out of the courtroom and everybody's flashing right. things and he got that attention and he was crying, talking about it. He had tears in his eyes.
Right.
And it's like that was the moment for him to, wow, this is amazing. Like it just was a high that. He wanted to keep, and I'm not mad at him for that, no. Man. I get that. I understand that.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the attention thing. Like, it's so classic because, like, they basically say that, like, Shannon's dad was a fucking disciplinarian. I mean, he got the belt a lot, according to his brother. And Shannon has a lot of love for his dad, but he also has a lot of need, which is like, I'm special, pay attention to me.
Yeah.
You know, kids need to know that. They don't need to be coddled, but they need to know that you love them and that yep. you think what they do is amazing, which apparently he didn't get. So it makes perfect sense that what he's chasing is this, you know, dad void, you know, like he needs acceptance, hardcore. However, he lives in an area and he probably doesn't have the support to have gone out and taken like theater lessons in high school.
Yeah. You know? That's not strong out there. They're watching high school football. You know, that's the big thing, yeah. You know, like,
yeah,
all that shit. We're going to state.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's those areas that their focus isn't on entertainment really.
Right.
And he's different. He wants to get out there and be in the limelight and be right. funny. You know what? At the end of the day, when they were talking and then he stopped the documentary and said, actually, I'll just answer that real quick. And they panned to the couch. It was a great moment.
Oh, that moment.
He's like, I just want to chase a dream. I just want to make people laugh and have a good time.
Right.
I understand that want and need. I understand that.
Right.
I get that. So he wasn't vilified in my eyes.
Right.
Well, the first time I saw it, I felt him a little more vilified. But this second time around, I didn't see him as, I mean, give the guy his leg back, man. It's, you know, the guy's gone through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know, like morally.
Right.
It's, but his need for something and desperation for it, because he is in a place where there's no resources for any of that. He doesn't have no plan to move. He's not going to LA.
Right.
So, you know, he's going to do what he can in the place that he's at. use the resources around him, and that leg was one of them.
He let out a yell in the building. Sounded like a war whoop.
My hand was dripping wet with cholesterol. What done run out of it?
Mom, I said, what?
My mother and her boyfriend come running, and they said, well, what did you find, Shannon?
He said, it's a human foot.
They said, a what? I said, a foot. And they said, a what?
You're full of it. No, I'm not. I said, yes, you are.
I said, a foot, you know, five toes and five toenails.
It was just unreal.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So going back again to like the beginning of this doc, what's really incredible is how much the news picked up on this story. Like, it's pretty incredible. Like, you follow the news for this 2-year endeavor that happens that is like all the way up to like CNN and fucking Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, they were talking about it. Everybody
was talking about it, and they were going on TV shows and stuff, even including this the Jay Leno of Amsterdam.
Yeah, that's right.
Talk show that they go on. But like,
and he brought, you know what? This is a significant part too. They were asked, let's go to this. They were both asked to do that talk show in Amsterdam, and John Wood can take a guest. Well, remember when his sister got pissed? He didn't take me. He took his crack dealer. Yeah. So that's the state. That's the state that this man is in.
Right. Now, John Wood is the guy who lost the leg.
Yeah, he lost the leg in a plane crash, lost his father in that same plane crash. He felt guilty about it. You know, he was on drugs. And, you know, he was on drugs before that, but then he cleaned himself up and he was getting his life together.
Right.
And him and his dad started communicating again. They had a falling out
right.
with the family, but they're a tight family.
They are.
So they started getting it back and gaining it. Then that plane crash happened.
And so what we also find out in the documentary is that plane was sold and they were getting rid of it the next day.
That's right.
And they were doing one last fucking plane ride. I mean, you can't write this. This is so Shakespearean. You can't fucking write this shit.
Yep.
And his dad's even like, all the cowards stay behind.
Yeah. His dad was a daredevil, man.
Daredevil.
He loved to have a good time and get
this
crazy.
Tom Wood seems like a fucking hell of a fun time.
Yeah, dude.
Because he seems super smart. He was obviously very successful businessman. He was a daredevil. He lived life to the fullest. Matter of fact, his wife, who we get to know even more later on, dear old Peg, she's like, he could do anything. Like, nothing stopped him. Then they have this home footage of him being like, yep, just making a smoker. That's 193 bricks with some mortar. Like, no problem to it. Like, he just figured it out.
Yeah. He's like an engineer.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. One of those guys.
The old footage is family barbecues, everybody smiling. Very wealthy stuff.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. They have a tennis court. They show an aerial footage, and there's a tennis court. And I think even Shannon says they had a racquetball or something
in
the house.
Damn, dude.
Yeah. So they had some cash.
Yeah.
You know?
They were doing it.
Yeah. They were doing
it. And then Shannon, you know, just a regular old dude, good old boy living in North Carolina.
Good old boy.
Working man, you know. Probably the goofball in class, probably, you know.
He liked to
have fun and make people laugh and stuff. You know. He needed attention. We all got that. We all want that attention.
Absolutely.
You know?
What's the craziest thing you did as a kid to get attention from your parents?
You know, I played tricks all the time.
Okay.
You're a little tricking little fuck.
You're a little imp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to make plays and shit and do the plays in front of everybody.
Oh, you're one of those kids.
Yeah. Or like, you know, with my other cousins, we do like a reenactment of shit.
What's like one of the plays you remember?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
You know, my grandma would tell us bedtime stories when I was a little kid about, we live, my family, my dad's side from Cashin, Oklahoma. And we have a creek in our backyard, the Cottonwood Creek.
Of course you do.
Cashin,
Oklahoma.
In the Cottonwood Creek, there's cottonwood trees and they, you know.
Cicadas.
So they would, there was the Cottonwood Elf. And the Cottonwood Elf would come down and like they'd go on, you know, adventures and stuff. And my grandma would just make up stories. Oh. Just make them up. Nothing written down, just made up stories about.
Spinning yarn.
About the Cottonwood Elf. And man, we like do plays about the Cottonwood Elf and stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. It was fun,
did
man.
Did he murder children?
The Cottonwood Elf.
Did you turn it into like a thriller? Or,
no one survives the Cottonwood Elf.
That's fucking amazing. I don't know why that's not a Halloween movie.
It should be.
It should be.
Sounds like, if you're listening to this, don't make it, because Chris and I are going to make it.
Damn right.
Yeah. Don't take our ideas, bastards.
And Shannon, you could be in it, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. He could.
I love that dude. I really do. It's not that, you know, he did a shitty thing by prolonging it, but if you look at the whole story and just the full circle of it, it's a good story, man. Without him doing that, John Wood would have never gotten, like, he recovered his life. By the end of the documentary, it's kind of a happily ever after. But I don't know about Shannon. Do you think he's happy?
Yeah. Oh, no, wait.
Toward the end. I know I'm not bad. I'm going too far. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Do I think Shannon's happy? That's a million-dollar question.
John Wood's happy.
Yes. Well,
who knows? I don't know him. I don't know what he's doing right now in life, but, you know, he comes
trajectory.
From wealth, and it was set up for him to do well, and I don't wish him ill will. He's gone through a lot in life. He's gone through a lot of stuff.
Right.
You know, so I think they made it out for him to be happy at the end. It seemed like he was.
Well, but the trajectory of the doc shows him going from the lowest of lows, going through drug abuse and alcoholism and cocaine abuse, to getting sober and finally, I think, making peace with his dad. So it leaves you with this idea that, yes, he's doing better. And I feel like Shannon's thing is more of a personality thing. Like John's was more of like post-traumatic stress disorder over a certain accident in his life that fucking fucked him up, which it would fuck up anyone if you saw your dad die next to you in a plane crash.
Yeah, he looked up to him and everything. God, it was so tragic, man.
Oh, it's... So
it's a tragic story, you know. I understand why he would go into drug use.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, especially when you feel guilty about not being able to save your dad. I mean, that's some deep shit right there, man. Yeah. And that's why, like, we paused this documentary at one point, actually a lot. We were like, shut the fuck up, pause this shit. And at one point, it's just like, man, the theme to this entire doc is like father issues. It's like,
yes.
It's like dad stereotypes, father stereotypes.
I can never be as good as my father with John Wood, because his dad was the fucking man.
The man.
And I can't ever live up to that. Drugs.
Right.
I'll go to drugs. Drown in drugs.
Well, what did he say? I try to get as fucked up. I try to get as low as possible.
As loaded as possible.
Right.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, with Shannon, just no...
Not enough
no
attention.
Love, no attention.
And just the know? Belt. Just getting...
Just the belt and getting whooped. And yeah, I could see how it turned... I could see why he turned into that. And this is his chance.
Yeah.
Well, here it is. He saw a window open.
Right. Well,
you know?
I've met
fucked up window.
Yeah.
But he's like, I don't give a fuck, man. I'm jumping through this shit.
Right. I've just met so many really insecure people in my life that could have been, should have been, you know, that probably do still have the talent to have been what they wanted, but none of them had the balls. You know, I grew up in a small town in Michigan. When I go back, people are just like, they think I'm a fucking celebrity. You know,
yeah, like, and like, you living in that San Francisco?
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, you've been, it's like, you mean like, dude, nobody knows who I am. I just had the balls to dive in to try to do what I wanted to do. You know, that's it. That's the only difference.
It's hard.
Yeah.
The sacrifices you have to make.
And some people aren't, they don't have the necessary like spine to take those sacrifices and or don't even know how to fucking do it. Like you can grow up in an area that doesn't support that shit and have no fucking clue.
And a big thing that I saw is that I believe that Shannon, like, it seems like he's a loving dude to his wife. Like she loves him dearly.
Yeah.
In the documentary, they were talking about like divorce, but they stopped, right? They got it back together, right?
Yeah. Well,
they're getting it themselves. He dropped the leg thing.
You
said,
can
fuck
only
it.
Take the leg thing so far.
Yeah.
with a wife, you know, like.
But, you know, his feeling of failure. I don't think he should feel fail. I don't think he should feel failure. You know, you're not the man. You're going to get doors slammed in your face. You're going to have people laugh at you in this business. There's going to be times when nobody fucks with you. Like they had him on this fucking. At one point, he's doing this reality show. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh, man.
He doesn't know what he's walking into, but he's walking into. And then he sees it. He's like, these guys are fucking treating me like a fucking asshole.
Let's set this. This scene's really big. Let's set this up for people who haven't seen the doc. Like, this is later on in the documentary, and he gets contacted by a producer to do a swap antique sell real estate. Show. I forget what it was called. Do you remember what it was called?
I don't know, but he's supposed to auction off something, an item of theirs.
And it's a reality show.
He's known as the leg man.
He's known as, no, foot man.
Foot man.
Right, and some people call him Foot, for short.
For short, that's right. He goes, yeah, he's known as the foot man. Everybody's calling me foot man. Sometimes foot, for short.
You're like, can you imagine going to the grocery store? People are like, hey, foot.
Hey, there goes foot. Great. Oh. But he loved it.
Yeah.
He loved the attention, well, man.
That's his badge. I always say that we have badge of honors and badges of disgrace. Like his badge of disgrace is the not having the attention and doing what he needs to get for that attention. Like that's his thing. You know?
And there he got this fucking foot in a smoker and he said, holy shit. I got ideas.
I got ideas. Yeah. Unchained Shannon. Yeah, he was unhandcuffed at that point.
That's right.
Yeah, he was ready to, and God bless him. Like, it's easy to sit here and make fun of, not here in this podcast, but I'm talking, when you watch this, it's kind of easy to slide into that, like, oh, he's just a dumb hick, you know,
that stereotype. Yeah, you can say that shit, but I don't know. I see past that shit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a dumb hick, man.
Me too.
I got dumb hick blood in me, man, so I don't see it like that. I know what that is.
I just grew up in the North, but the northern version of hickness, man.
Yeah,
I grew up in a
tiny
farm town, too, and I've known those guys my entire life. Yeah. Big, fat, fucking blowhard dudes, you know, with first names that sound like last names.
Oh, my God. And what was that dude named?
Carlton.
Carlton. He's all, what was that dude's name? They had, at one point, John Wood's sister and brother-in-law were talking, and they were talking about, because John Wood went to rehab, and they were talking about, what was that dude's name in that rehab? I don't know. It was a weird name. Something like, it was like first name to sound like a last name. And then they panned to the, and then they cut to the dude.
Yeah.
And it's Carlton.
And it's such a beautiful edit, man. It's so on point.
The way they told this story, amazing.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, if nothing else, this is one of the best storytelling docs in a while. I mean, it has that same feel as of American Movie, you know, that things just unfold. And have you seen King of Kong? Have you ever seen that
documentary? I haven't seen. Oh, I've seen parts of it. I haven't seen the whole
classic
thing, though.
Yes. And I think these guys, Brian Carberry and Clay Tweel, I think you can't say Tweel without a Southern accent. Clay Tweel. I think they were involved in King of Kong. They didn't direct it. I think they might have produced and edited it. Yeah. So it has that kind of feel.
Man, this was brilliant. And you know, we didn't even talk about Peg yet, man. Really?
No, we haven't gotten to Peg. You're right.
Wow.
But we're setting up. Okay, we're setting up the swap meet, though.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So he's at the swap meet with
in the reality show.
Yeah, in the reality show, that's right. He's doing all these like gimmicky shows, you guys. Shannon's on like he's on the news. He's doing everything. He's doing radio shows. He's got a podcast.
Right.
He's like really going hard.
He's going,
man.
Going to the mat
for this thing
shit.
Is going to send him to the net. It's the golden ticket.
Right. And I think he even says like I expect to be on Conan.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be on Jay Leno. I'm gonna be on Conan. He called Conan.
Conan.
fucking love him. Yeah. I love that dude.
Yeah.
So
you have a lot of heart for Shannon.
He goes on this reality show. They kind of sabotage him. He feels like a douche on it. He sells the Christmas story.
Well, that's right.
Lamp.
Yes. The Fragile.
Yes. They wanted him to sell that lamp, the specific one from the movie, Christmas Story.
Like these
right?
LA douchebags, producers of this reality show, come to fucking North Carolina and basically set him up.
Yep. Yeah. It was fucking terrible. But seeing that unfold in his eyes, because he's going to this, he's thinking, I got these Hollywood producers. We're doing this show. We got, you know, I'm on TV. I'm making it. Here we go. And
he's
then
so excited.
And then he's slowly learning, like, this shit is fucked up.
Yeah.
Like when he sold the lamp and he's like, you want me to sign it for you? And the dude goes, nope.
Oh, man.
God, that was a crushing blow to him, man. Like, he really, what the fuck am I doing here, man? Yeah.
And they show excerpts from this actual reality show with him holding up the Fragile leg lamp from Christmas Story and being like, hey, you know, who wants it? And this guy buys it. And he's like, I just bought it because it's from a Christmas Story.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
The next shot is like, you want me to autograph that? He's just
because
like,
he thinks that that it's because of him he's right. buying it. And
dude,
it's fucked up.
Denial
man.
Is an amazing fucking tool.
Damn.
I mean, that's a defense mechanism right there, dude. That's like, I know you have, and I have too, met comics who have what they call a tin ear, where they hear applause and laughs where there weren't any.
Oh, dude, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
A weird phenomena.
It happens.
Yeah. I think there's two different kinds of comics. There's people here who hear applause and laughs, and there's comics who are really good who hear just the silence, you know? Because I've also met those comics who just crush, and they're like, I don't know. I didn't have a very good set. And you're like, are you fucking nuts? You know?
Yeah.
There's also those dudes and ladies as well. Dudes in the gender. Anyways. So they have this reality show. And then they do these cutaways of the documentary people talking to Shannon's wife. And she's just like, this sucks. What is he doing? He's selling his soul, basically.
Yeah. She's like, I don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
I want to leave. Yeah. I don't even want to be here. I feel that. I saw that. I understood that feeling, man.
Oh, my God.
And you know they want it more than anything. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to be supportive of it.
Yeah.
You're trying to be, this is his man. This is the man you live with, his dream, what he does. I know her. I'm married to her, too. I got one in my house.
Yeah.
So supportive of what we're doing in our dream.
Right.
You know, but then again, you get to look into the eyes of the beast, and you're like, fuck that. I'm a fucking, you know, I'm going to live my life. I'm a simple human being in this world, man. I just want to live my life with my loved ones, and that's it. I live in a beautiful part of the country, and I just want to just, it's simple around here, man. We don't do all that.
Yeah.
That's how I was raised. And then Shannon just wants it so bad.
So bad.
You know? And so it's hard. It was conflicting for her, and she was just like, I want to go. And even the mom was, Shannon's mom, too. It's funny, in the documentary, Shannon's wife and mom are always together. Like, it's such a beautiful, they're a beautiful family to me. I love that.
They're homies. I mean, definitely they seem like they're pretty tight. And you could see the anguish on his wife's face because she's just like, oh my God, they're like making fun of him.
Yeah.
They're playing him for a fool.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
And so here's the fucking fall. This is one of those moments in this doc that is so amazing because you see Shannon.
And he ain't stupid either.
No.
He's not no dumb hick, man.
No,
he's not, dude.
But what's he want more, fame or integrity? So, like, they show him talking to his wife saying, I'm out of here. Fuck this. I can't do it.
That's right.
And then there's a moment, and then there's another scene, a smash. So he's talking to the producer, and they're obviously talking him back into it. But
he's like, you guys are making me out to look like a fool here.
Right.
And then they were like, no, not at all. Doing the douchery and just say they brought him back in. You said it. He can't stop chasing the dragon.
No, he can't stop.
And he went up there and clowned it up.
Oh, no.
It was so cringeworthy.
Oh, it's so cringeworthy. And you see him on the phone talking to a producer going, I can cry or not on command. Like, even people in Hollywood can't do that. Like, what do you need from me on the camera?
He's saying this to sell himself, to like get himself more. Maybe this guy will tell other people, oh, this guy can cry on command.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing everything he can.
Yes,
man.
He is. So there's the fork in the road. You literally see the fork in the road in this documentary where he could have left it alone and been like, nope, enough is enough. Or he's like, one more taste. God
one more.
Damn it.
I need it.
I need it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible moment, man. Okay. So there's so much to talk about. Cause I want to talk about, obviously the television stuff. Let's talk about the television stuff, which is all the TV stuff that they did. Yeah. So, cause before, like three quarters of the way of the documentary, John Wood is still fucked up.
On coke and crack, alcohol, everything. Just addiction.
His brother even says like his crack dealer knew the day he got paid because he'd be out there waiting for him.
Fuck.
I know, dude. That's fucked up. So you see, like, there's lots of news coverage over this story. But then things start getting kind of fucked up. And one thing I don't think we've explained yet is that nobody has the foot. It was still being held at the funeral.
That's right. It's still at the funeral home.
Yeah.
But they, what happened is Shannon kept doing podcasts and stuff and calling him out, you know, shitting on his dad, like just shitting on their legacy and stuff.
Right.
And he's on drugs. John's on drugs listening to this stuff. And it's like, fucking, he has to respond.
Right.
So he started going on TV.
Yeah.
He didn't want the limelight.
No.
He didn't want none of that. But then he went on there.
Well, he has a news conference.
Yep. He had a news conference.
In the parking lot of the Dollar Store.
Looking like John Gruden. Looking like cracked out John Gruden.
Oh, my God. He's wearing. That's hilarious. He does look like a cracked out John Gruden. Wow.
Half Terminator because the part of his leg is like gone.
Oh,
you know, he's
man.
Got the skeletal. He's That's, got that thing.
Fucking Chucky. So he holds a press conference and people fucking show up for some reason.
And then Shannon shows up. And he's mean mugging him and like
off camera, he's mean mugging him.
Slowly walking inch by inch closer to that camera. I gotta be in this.
Yeah. And of course he has Oakley sunglasses. Cause you pointed out there's this beautiful shot of a photograph of John Wood looking really small in Shannon's sunglasses.
Yeah, the reflection of it's a close up of Shannon mean, like looking mean with sunglasses on, and in the reflection is John Wood sitting there and holding the press conference.
And he's like, they're literally having a press conference
in the middle of the Dollar Tree or whatever the hell it was.
In the middle of the Dollar Tree parking lot. And even his family, there's like a cutaway to his family just being like, I guess he did it there because it's across the street from the funeral parlor or what, you know, like they don't understand this guy at all.
Yeah.
Like what he does and why he does what he does. But then like fucking Shannon drops in and takes over. And it's like, let's talk about this off camera. And then what you see, and then John's basically like, I won't use my leg for money. Like, that's just disgusting and gross, and there's no way I'm going to do that. But then he starts falling on hard fucking times. Like, his mom. So we get introduced to fucking Peg.
And at first, you want to love Peg. Peg lost her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Her son's on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, before she lost her husband and they went on this plane crash, John was on drugs. Fell off. He's a rich kid, fell off, was doing drugs, but then he started to recuperate.
Yeah.
He felt like I can never be like my dad and the pressures of that. And then he started to rehabilitate and he's slowly getting trust with the family again, getting back in the life. Then the plane crash happened and then back to drug addict because they were giving him oxycodones and shit. And he was just fucking in paradise.
Well, he said he came home with a bucket of Oxycontin
and a recovering addict, man. You give him that,
right?
You're fucked.
Well, and he had his leg amputated, and so then we get introduced to Peg.
So Peg loses her husband, and now her son's back on drugs. She cut him off, but you want to love her, and
at first you're like, oh man,
gosh,
poor mom,
poor lady, yeah.
And then it's just she's like, well, I mean, if you ever meet him, you kind of like him, but I don't know why. Like,
I don't love him, but I kind of like him.
I like him sometimes. You're just like, oh fuck,
what?
And then you see again John's sister and John's brother-in-law, and they're saying like, yeah, she just like, there was no burial,
no funeral, no celebration of life, no nothing. This man was a wealthy dude. He gave the family everything. She put him in a fucking black box and cremated him and put him in the top shelf of her fucking
behind some books and shit.
Yeah.
She's like, I think he's over here. It's all dusty and shit.
Yeah, he's just in something, not like a nice urn or like something to memorialize him.
Right.
It's just like, but I guess he was going out on her and cheating on her, I think.
Well, and that's
maybe
what
he was like a richer. At that time, nobody said anything. Oh. He's just going out. You know,
we don't that's talk what husbands about,
do. Yeah, yeah.
It was so Mad Men style.
But she's pissed about that.
Well.
So this was her fuck you, is what the siblings said.
Exactly.
This was a big fuck you to dad. Finally, she got to be like, fuck you. You're in this fucking box in this vanity, whatever.
Yeah, shoved behind this fucking old cookbook.
Shoved behind fucking Where's Waldo?
Yeah. She finally got her fuck you to him and shoved him aside, and because John has such amazing father issues, that really set him off. That really pissed him off, and then he and his mom fell out, and he started getting heavy into drugs. She kicked his ass out because he went sober up. He lives under a bridge. I think I asked you, have you ever been homeless before? And you're like, you lived in a
I lived in a laundry room.
Right.
When I lived in Sherman Oaks, California, when I first started stand-up.
Oh, wow.
It was a nice area.
Oh, yeah. Nice Sherman house. Oaks is really nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Fucking Starbucks on the corner and shit.
It's not so bad.
It wasn't bad.
That's not like...
No. It wasn't bad, dude. Yeah. Like, I lived in a laundry room of an in-law unit.
Right.
And in the room we're in right now, I told Paco it's about the same size as this room here. Right.
Which is a pretty decent sized room. Yeah. What were you paying for rent for that?
What was I paying? $500.
Wow.
$500 for that one room.
That seems like a lot.
This was in 2003.
Okay.
I was paying $500. Right. And then I talked to the people in the front of the house. I became friends with them.
Yeah.
They were a young couple from Boston.
Nice.
And the kid was a wealthy kid. He was like a record producer. And I think he was doing some real big shit.
Yeah.
You know, he seemed like it.
Yeah, of course.
He was a cool kid.
Chasing a dragon.
It was the year that the Boston came all the way back. Yankees had Boston 3-0 in the ALCS.
Yeah.
And then Boston came back and won 4 in a row to beat the Yankees
that
to
was
finally
amazing.
Go to the World Series and then fucking win it.
Yeah.
It was a great year.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you know, I'm not a Boston Red Sox fan, but I'm a baseball fan.
Yeah.
That rivalry, the whole story was very cool.
Right, right, right.
And I got to kind of live that through this dude. So we became really good friends. And he was like, what is she charging you, bro? And I'm like, she's charging me $500. She only pays $800 for that whole place.
Oh, shit.
And she wouldn't give me access to the shower and the bathroom if she wasn't there.
No.
It was a fucked up situation.
For $500 a month.
Yeah, but Jesus. I thought it was, I didn't know. I thought that was just, it was a nice area. It was.
Right.
I stumbled onto that. I didn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. She was fucking
that's
me.
That's tough. Yeah. I mean, it's not living under a bridge, but that's tough.
No. It wasn't at all living under a bridge. I had a roof over my head. I was happy.
Yeah.
In no way was I ever like homeless like that. No.
Yeah.
You were?
I was for a little bit. I got kicked out of my house when I was a kid. So like my dad told me to hit the bricks when I was 15 and I got a 20-second notice.
Damn.
And I was out. It was like at night in the middle of winter in Michigan.
Damn, that's cold.
Literally and figuratively, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, my dad was like, nope, you're out of here. I was 15.
What'd you do, bro? Yeah. Blame the victim. I'm victim blaming here. I know you. I know you, Paco. What'd you do?
You didn't know me like that. I just told him I didn't believe in God. That was it.
Wow.
Yeah, so he did the Christian thing, sent me packing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Reunited, though, and got cool, right?
Yeah, I didn't talk to him for 10 years or even a little longer.
So when you were out at 15, you were out?
Mm-hmm.
Where's your mom at that time?
She was nearby. She didn't have me come in either. I know it's sad. I went to the park for a couple days. I lived in the park and then I went and lived with my mom for like 2 or 3 months. But then I went and lived with some family friends and then I got kicked out of there, which really was a problem. And then I lived in an apartment with two older guys called the Hellhole.
Was
the name of the apartment, the nickname, the Rock Palace. So I lived there for
a while. That's what Paco's butthole is called. Yeah. So that's how he paid
that's
rent.
How I
the
paid.
Hell hole.
Literally. So, yeah, I mean, I've lived in some weird spots and done some stuff, but...
Wow, dude, that's crazy. That's a whole documentary in itself.
I know. And then I sent my dad a letter, and I was like, I want my dad back when I was 30. And he was like, yeah, okay, yeah, I want you back too. So we made up, and then he died in a car accident.
Oh, my God.
Right? Crazy. Yeah.
You made up.
But we made up. And then he died. So it's pretty sweet.
Holy shit. I did not know that.
Yeah. So if you have someone in your life that you love that you haven't told them that you love them, Do it today.
Tell them.
Tell those fuckers.
You know what? Because Peg was just like, that was so evil, right?
Yeah.
Like, you wanted to love her. And then in this documentary, Peg is John Wood, the guy that got his leg amputated. You know, that's his mom. And she's on the fucking camera like, I like him, but
I don't love him sometimes.
Yeah. Or just, he's not somebody you really love. I like him.
Damn.
It was just like, ouch.
And then what the fuck did he do? Like, they don't really say, like, you know, his shenanigans.
It's
his fuckery and shenanigans.
It was because I'm sure the drugs was a disappointment. They were in that plane crash together.
Right.
You know, she had his resentment in her heart. I saw it. She released it toward the end, but I'm just saying, this woman is pretty pissed off.
Peg.
You know, Peg. I mean, it's not like she wished her husband dead. Of course not. She loved her husband, but she also had animosity for this man that she loved.
Absolutely. Yeah, she definitely. There's love there. It's weird how love and hate can be almost the fucking same thing.
Man.
Right? It's such a weird human emotion.
But this documentary showed that so well.
Oh, yeah. And then so basically John is homeless, addicted to drugs and alcohol, and now he's looking to get some money.
Any kind of fucking money.
Any kind of money.
And he's got the leg.
And he's got the leg.
Funeral home gave him the leg.
Yeah, he gets the leg back. And then the Jay Leno of Amsterdam gets him and Shannon to show up on this TV show.
Yep.
And this is the moment where, Shannon had his fork in the road. This is fucking John's fork in the road now, because it's either do you play the monkey and get paid and do what they want the monkey to do, or do you have some integrity, you know? And so they're on this show and they're like, we want you to, you have to show us the leg. And he's like, I can't, but if we can take a picture of it and, you know.
Yeah, he took pictures. They wanted to do? They wanted to do something with the money, well, like give him money for the leg or something,
yeah.
Right? They wanted to pay him.
They were going to pay him to just show it on camera, but he was like, you can take a picture. So they paid him to do that. And then he was like, I just did exactly what I did not want Shannon to do, which was use my leg for money.
Now, let me remind you guys, this. Now we're about in the middle of the podcast when they do that Amsterdam
thing,
right? The documentary.
Yeah.
So we're right in the middle of the documentary. They haven't showed the leg yet.
Oh, that's right.
Like, you're hearing this story about this guy, put a leg in a smoker, put it in storage, loses the storage, Shannon gets it, he has this leg. They haven't shown this leg to us yet. So we're just, you know, we don't know what we're looking at. John wanted... He described it. He said, when I got back from the hospital, I told him I want to keep my leg. I'd like the skeletal remains. And they were like, okay, no problem. They said the guy showed up to his door with the leg from the fucking mortuary or whatever the fuck, the morgue. I don't know
right.
What do they call it?
Yeah.
They gave him his fucking leg in a white bag with red tape around it. He fucking looked at it and he was like, whoa, this isn't what I wanted, man. And the guy was gone.
Yeah.
He was dust.
Dwayne the Mortician.
Yep. Dwayne the Mortician. He didn't want to be there at all. So he just fucking gave this dude, what the fuck does this guy want a leg for?
Yeah.
He's probably thinking, gives it to him and he's out.
That's one of my favorite things about small town culture. It's whatever you do, it's your first name with whatever you do.
Dwayne the Mortician.
It's like Shannon the Foot Guy, Dwayne the Mortician.
Yep. So he leaves and like, this is not what he wanted, but this is what he's stuck with now, this fucking leg. Now go back to this. They do a picture, a snapshot
right.
with John Wood and his leg.
Mm.
And that fucking leg, you guys,
it's
got skin. It's
so nasty.
Skin and fucking toenail and like tendons. And
calf muscle.
Oh.
It's literally his fucking leg.
But it's also beef jerky because
it's so beef jerky.
When he got it, he tried to put embalming fluid on it and like he tried to like do shit to it, remember?
Yeah. Well, he tried to like cook it and he tried to like cook it in the sun.
He tore off the screen door and wrapped it like a joint. She's all, he wrapped that leg like a doobie. Put it out in the sun, soaked it in embalming fluid, and put it up in the tree.
Like a possum. He's hung it up like a possum to dry out in the sun.
For 6 months.
And then his mom kicks him out of the house and becomes homeless.
So he puts it in the smoker. Yeah.
And then he puts it into a storage
shed.
And
his mom paid for the storage shed for 3 months.
Right.
And said, you're on your own after that. Right. She gave him a shot.
Because you have to give addicts boundaries. Yeah. Have you ever lived with an addict?
I know that life. Yeah. Man. Yep.
You got to, if you don't, if you got to give
so
him.
So she cut him off.
Yeah, she cut him off.
I'm sure that was hard for her too. Fuck, you know, yeah. She says she liked him. She loved him. You could tell.
Yeah.
You could tell she's a real mom and she's just a hurt mom. She's just a hurt.
Lady's been through a lot.
A lot of shit. So.
Yeah.
You feel for her too. But she says some evil shit in there, man. And like, there's like, whoa.
That's on camera too. Which tells you then, I guess, it kind of makes sense then that they made up because she feels free enough to say like, yeah, I didn't like this motherfucker. Like in the day,
yes,
you know, I mean, if there's still animosity, she may not even have done the documentary.
No, I don't think she would have.
Right.
But that was, yeah, she's a hurt soul, man. She was just hurt.
Right.
But so they show that Amsterdam show. He gets some money and he keeps going on shows and appearing on shit looking like shit. This is John we're talking about now.
Right.
Shannon's been doing it. Shannon's been on
from
shows.
The jump.
Trying to do capitalize as much as he can.
Right.
But John, not really into that shit. Now he's all of a sudden doing it because he wants some money.
Right.
And he's all cracked out. He's got fucking missing teeth in the front now.
Yeah.
He's just looking worse and worse, deteriorating before our eyes.
Absolutely. And he gets invited. This is what makes this doc so amazing, too, is because they literally get invited to go on Judge Mathis.
Yep. It's finally going to be resolved.
Right. To deliberate in a court of law. But on fucking TV,
TV.
What it's like Shannon's wet fucking dream.
Yep.
For somebody like Shannon, who is like one of those blowhard know-it-alls, like to be able to go up there and like, I'm just as smart as the judge and the defendant, and I'm going to get my, you know, it's like, this is his wet dream.
This is it. He's going to fucking, Judge Mathis, he even said, isn't it on like NBC? He didn't even just say Judge Mathis. Shannon's a very smart dude. He's like, I'm going on Judge Mathis on NBC.
Oh,
like,
right.
Like, it's on real TV. So, right. Like, he knows fucking it's on a network.
Right.
Oh, I'm about to be on the network TV.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah. He is. So, I mean, he understands. Well, I don't know if he just gets caught up in the mass media frenzy of it all. Like, that's his. This is his thing he's been waiting for since a kid. And, yeah, you might be able to hear the F-15s flying over my house.
Yeah, you guys, we're in Paco's house. It's Fleet Week right now in San Francisco, and there are fucking F-15s, Blue Angels going by, old school fucking, yeah, see, type of fucking planes.
It is.
It's dope.
It is Fleet Week in San Francisco.
I love Fleet Week. Yeah. I love it. I'm not one of these, God, I hate Fleet Week. I love it, but I know it's costing a lot of money to put it on.
It's just a week.
Yeah.
Could be Fleet Month. Mm-hmm. So this is Shannon's wet dream. So then we start to hear of what it was like through John Wood and the backstory. And then we see actual footage of Judge Mathis.
Yep. He goes on Judge Mathis. He looks like shit on Judge Mathis.
Yeah.
He looks. John.
Right.
John looks bad. Shannon doesn't look like I don't think he has an addiction. It didn't seem like he did
maybe
in the documentary.
Just the hamburgers or something.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big guy.
Yeah. He put a lot of salt on that sandwich when his wife made him a sandwich.
That's right. Yeah.
But okay, so here we are on Judge Mathis. I guess to make a long story short, Judge says, I ain't going to give you that man's leg.
Yeah.
It's that man's leg. It's funny. John tells Judge Mathis, that leg's been putting me through so much trouble, I can't even keep up with it.
Yeah, I've had that leg for 42 years.
And I still can't keep up with it.
Yeah,
oh, so funny.
And then there's cuts to his family, and they're like, he's coked out of his mind.
Yes.
And
look at him.
Drunk.
He's all fucked up.
And then John's like, my eyes were like saucer plates, and I'm looking around like,
and
oh,
he was.
God. Yeah.
He was looking like shit.
Yeah.
But so Judge Mathis ruled, what was it, monetary?
Right, to Shannon.
Yes, Shannon won monetary ownership or something of the leg.
Well, he just gets paid.
Yeah, so he gets 5 G's.
Yeah,
and then John gets to keep his leg, and it was over.
Right,
but Shannon walks out of the fucking courtroom.
Well, just before we get to that, let me just say, Shannon says it's flip. I wanted a leg. John needed money. he got the leg and I got money.
That's right.
Which is like, what a devil's bargain.
What a fucking crazy, crazy world we live, man.
Right? And but it's also, you make the deal, you make a bargain with the devil, you're never sure what you're going to get. So it's like, they sold their soul to this media stuff and they still didn't win. Even though they both won in court, they don't win.
They don't win.
And then Shannon tells this a beautiful story.
Yeah, Shannon goes outside of the courtroom and everybody, what's Shannon's last name? Sorry.
Wizenhunt.
Wizenhunt, sorry. No disrespect.
Or Wisnant. Wisnant, sorry.
Wizenhunt, I believe.
Wisnant. Shannon Wisnant.
Wizenhunt. Wisnant. No, sorry. Shannon Wisnant.
Yeah, Wisnant.
Finds an amputated leg. Okay, yeah. Okay, so he goes out after Judge Mathis, and there's cameras flashing and news and everybody with microphones in his face. Shannon, Mr. Wisnant, Shannon, please come. We want to talk to you. And he had tears in his eyes saying this.
When he's recounting the story.
When he's recounting, walking out of that courtroom and everybody's on him. That attention, I mean, he's has tears in his eyes. That's how I know he's just a passionate dude.
Yeah.
He just wants some attention, man.
He wants to be seen.
He's got something.
Yeah.
I see it. I could see that he has something, man.
Yeah.
He don't have nothing. I'll tell you that.
Right.
He's not one of these. He's not a piece of shit.
Right.
You know, so he's out there and like, he loved it, man. He just, and that, I think that got him on. He started doing more shows. Didn't he do like Jerry Springer and shit?
Oh my God. That's right. He does Jerry Springer.
He started doing all kinds of shit, man.
He just starts, I mean.
And then that led to the auction thing, I believe.
Right.
That was later. But we talked about it because it was so such a significant part.
But this scene where he's recounting the story about seeing the flashing lights, more cameras than you can believe in your life, like that, like a lot for most people in this world, that would be a nightmare.
Yep.
To leave a courtroom where you're arguing about a leg, some man's leg, and then having flashing cameras and like for him though, like this was a life's dream for him. Like what's the like craziest thing you've done for the entertainment world to be like you thought was a next step up that you realized later looking back maybe wasn't or was just some weird fucking thing?
Ask me that again. Tell me that again.
Like with Shannon doing Judge Mathis, have you ever done anything that was embarrassing but you were just like, this is just the entertainment world and I have to do it?
I don't believe I've gotten that far.
Well, like, or like even that. Like a show where you're just like, I can't believe I drove 500 miles to do this.
Yeah, I had shows like that. Yeah, right. I've had shows like that. I just had a show that was fucked up.
That's right.
Like, I just had
didn't
that
even
happen.
Think about that. That's right. Should we tell people or not?
I don't care, man. Okay. Doesn't bother me.
Chris punched a guy at a show because the guy deserved it.
This fucking heckler attacked me with a fucking mic stand and I socked him.
That's fucking awesome,
and he went
man.
Tumbling down.
You're a goddamn hero. You're gonna have a statue on the comedy campus.
I'd rather have his foot, I'll tell you what.
I once did this. So when I first started acting in San Francisco, there was a talent agency called Cast of Thousands. And they basically would cast you to do the most embarrassing bullshit gigs for almost no money. And I worked twice for them. And one of the things I had to do once was to be a living statue at a billionaire's birthday party at AT&T Park where I was a baseball player. I was, I'm forgetting his fucking name. Who's one of the most famous sluggers?
Babe Ruth.
I had to play Babe Ruth in a Babe Ruth outfit.
Yes.
Where I couldn't move, though.
Oh,
and
my
these
God.
Billionaire people would walk around and be like, ha, 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 and take pictures with me and, like, try to get me to do stuff. And they would try to take the bat out of my hands. And I wasn't supposed to move. I was a living statue. Dude, it was the most embarrassing thing.
Oh,
they're
God.
Taking pictures, making fun of me, taking pictures with me, like poking me and shit.
Oh.
Right? $150. I was there for 4 hours. And
damn.
I had to sit there and take that shit. Anyways, okay. So I feel the pain of Shannon too. Like I have done shit where I'm just like, this is my next step to being,
this is what
famous.
I gotta do.
Yeah.
This is the doors I gotta go
through.
These
are the doors, these are the hoops, exactly.
And in an area like that where there's no resources or anything really, I mean, do you think that they have an open mic out there? Do you think there's a comedy scene? There's no outreach to express yourself.
No. None.
You know, and he found one with his fucking leg.
He's a schemer too. I mean, he's like, yeah. He's a classic schemer guy. Yeah. And like his wheels are always moving. And he's, and even shows like him at a swap meet. And the guy's like, yep, he always buys stuff for little and pays, gets money for him and stuff. And so like he's a classic schemer. And, but you can't help but feel for this guy because he just wants it. And, you know, and like, that's why this is a perfect conversation for two comedians like ourselves. And it's like, I get it. I get that. Like, you know, part of it's art, part's wanting to be able to have a nice home.
He could care less about that leg. He just wants to have somebody look his way.
Right. Which is what makes
the ultimate.
Right. But it's what makes this documentary so crazy, because it's like, it's just a guy's fucking leg. Like, you could probably knock out a novel in the amount of time and effort you're wasting on some dude's fucking mummified leg. Like, do something more useful or creative, you know? Like, that's the weird thing about when you see shit like that. So then, you know, as the documentary progresses, we get to this part we were talking about earlier where Shannon's wife is basically saying, like, you know, his desire to have this leg and be famous is fucking killing me.
Yeah, she saw through the bullshit, you know, and she saw something, and because she loves him, she didn't tell him not to do it, but she's like, I don't want no part of it. What a sweet woman, you know, like I feel there that they have a lot of love in their in their hearts for each other.
Yeah.
You know, they're going through marriage ain't easy. I'm going to find out, but I definitely know that it's not easy, you know, so. This was a hardship in their marriage, and you know they were going through it. She has a hard time watching him be a clown in front of these fucking producers that are setting him up and shit.
Right.
And then he just wants to be looked at, man.
Yeah.
He just wants somebody to turn his way. And then, you know, on the other side of it, John left that Judge Mathis show. Judge Mathis was like, "Put this dude in rehab."
Dude, what a thunderbolt of a reveal that happens.
What a dude. A shout out to Judge Mathis.
Fucking
man.
Judge Mathis.
What a fucking amazing human being.
That's very, very nice.
You know, turned his life around, became a judge. I'm sure all that shit's true. It's not like fake, you know.
Right, no.
You know, he's on TV and stuff now, but that's what happened. So, right.
Or is that you and I just being from small towns and being like, it's got to be true.
It's got to be real, Judge Mathis.
Yeah.
But hey, he through the show, he was like, I he knew the dude was on coke.
Right.
I'm sure Judge Mathis has a background of like he they say it on there, like he grew up in the hood and
got
like
a second chance.
Yeah. So he knows what that addiction looks like, and he saw addiction staring him straight in the face.
Right. And he helped fucking Judge Mathis help John Wood get sober.
Yeah, he took him to this fucking beautiful, where was it at? It was in LA or something?
But
there were stars, he said, and
right,
shit.
Like, yeah.
He's like, here I am, some old hillbilly from fucking, you know.
Yeah.
And then all these stars around me, and then John is in this rehab center, the state-of-the-art rehab center. That's where, what's his name? What's that dude's name?
His first name sounds like a last name. Yeah. That's
Carlton.
It's awesome, man.
That's where he helped him, and he got sober.
Yeah,
and the rest of the story, John is sober.
Mm-hmm.
John has found it. He didn't stumble anymore.
No.
That really saved his life.
It fucking saved
his
life.
Judge Mathis saved his life.
Yeah, it's so weird. And he also says that Shannon saved his life. Without this egomaniac, insecure, blowhard of a lovable man, he would never have gotten sober.
Yeah, without him going through all that shit to get his leg, he would have never found that path. Maybe he would have, but in another dimension.
Yeah.
But this is how it was for this story.
Right.
And then John finally found his path. And I just still don't know about Shannon. I feel for him still. Like, I hope he can find something.
Yeah,
man.
Me too. I know that we exchanged. I was gonna say even I could like give him a plug on his Twitter because he and I exchanged a couple tweets.
What was Shannon's last tweet?
Let's look. I bring it up his page. What the fuck? No fucking way. This is, oh my god. This is his last. I think I'm gonna cry. This is his last tweet. I'll read it to you. It says, this is Shannon Wisnant, wife. Shannon passed away November 11th around 9 p.m. Give or take, autopsy is being performed. I will keep everyone informed. autopsy is being performed. I will keep everyone informed.
Oh my
God. He passed away.
November 11th, 2016.
So around right
9 p.m., give or take, autopsy is being performed. I will keep everybody informed.
Whoa.
Wow. Whoa. Well, he wasn't a healthy dude, man.
Whoa, no.
Damn.
Whoa. Wow. That's, wow. What a weird way to find that out. Right here, live on this podcast. Shannon.
I'm trying to see his last
the one that he wrote, yeah.
He has a YouTube thing. I don't want to click on it yet. I want to look at an actual.
Well, and also tweet. Tell if people want to. I guess if you want to look him up, we'll give you the Twitter.
Oh yeah, Shannon's Twitter is at footmannc.
Oh man, that's funny. He never gave up.
Nah, man, that's his claim to fame. That's who he was, man.
That's his badge.
Damn, man.
Wow, because you know, before we started recording this, Chris actually said like, I want to help this guy. Like,
look at that. Look at the three Blue Angels right there in formation.
Wow.
So sick.
That's like not, I don't know how much, how it's right by my house. It's literally over my roof, which is crazy. But Chris was saying that he wanted to help Shannon like find an open mic or something. But fuck, wow. What a weird way to find out that he's passed on. And I hope that's not too weird of a spoiler. No, it's not really a spoiler for this. I mean, anywho,
Shannon had some conspiracy theories.
Uh-oh.
Hashtag WUTV. Why don't our government fix the weather with HAARP? Nobody knows about the radioactive chemtrails.
The Judge Mathis was kind of the final straw with everything.
I want it back. It's mine.
You want his leg back?
Yes, sir.
Step out. All right, you don't need one.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Gotta cast this dog. Cast this dog.
So who would you cast as Shannon?
Shannon Wisenhunt or Wizent. Danny McBride.
Right. That's perfect.
But Danny McBride has to have like a Southern Cartman type voice.
Right.
Like he really was Cartman in a way too. The way he thought.
That's perfect.
The way that his antics.
Yeah.
He's very Cartman and Kenny Powers-esque. Like the both of them combined.
It's perfect.
So if Kenny McBride.
Yeah. McBride.
I mean, Danny McBride played Shannon Wisnant.
With a little Cartman. Sprinkled in. Mm-hmm. And then John Wood. I mean,
I didn't even think about John Wood.
Well, Gruden.
Oh, yeah. John Gruden's got to play in.
Yeah.
For sure,
yeah,
dude.
Gruden would be awesome.
Yep. John him. Gruden. But do we have to pick an actor? It could be anybody, huh?
No, anybody.
Oh,
it's
this
fine.
Is a great
living,
game.
Living or dead.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's just, you just get to cast the biopic of Finders Keepers.
John Gruden, for sure.
Yeah. Fucking Chucky. And then, I mean, the other ones are kind of hard. They're kind of character actors. We'd have to get the people who cast the Coen Brothers movies to cast the rest.
Yeah, really. You're right.
Yeah.
Who would play what's her name? Peg?
Peg, the mom? Frances McDormand.
I
would go with like age her up a little bit.
I thought the lady from I forgot her name, but the lady from the Golden Girls. The oldest one.
Oh, Ruth. No. There's Ruth McCallum. I don't know.
What's the old lady from?
Estelle Getty.
Yes.
Whoa, I can't believe I thought of that. Jesus Christ.
I love Estelle Getty.
Yeah.
She reminded me kind of her.
Right. Yeah, she could play that for sure. And you got yours. I didn't realize this. You got your start in comedy in L.A.?
Yeah, in 2003.
Oh, wow.
I love theater and doing plays and shit like that.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in San Leandro, California.
But first, a little in Oklahoma?
I never grew up in Oklahoma. My dad's from Oklahoma, born and raised, and we have a farm out there on 164 acres in Cashin, Oklahoma.
Cashin.
Nice. Yep, they got cattle out there. My dad's a cattle rancher.
Oh, wow.
We have 22 cattle. Not mm-hmm. a smaller operation, but it's still a lot of work all year long. Yeah, it's a lot of work. Never have a day off, really. And
I was growing up, one of my best friends was a dairy farmer. And spending the night at his house meant fucking work.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Spending my summers going to Oklahoma, catching grasshoppers, walking to Cottonwood Creek and using that as bait.
Yeah.
Catching catfish.
Having your first kiss with the elf.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
The fucking
Cottonwood elf.
Yeah. I went to L.A. to audition for the Groundlings. My dream was to be on Saturday Night Live as a youngster. Oh, yeah.
I could see that.
You know, I love Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And that was my dream. So I tried it and they were like, yeah, you can do the beginner class.
Right.
To start. And I was like, do I have the money to pay for this beginner class? Not really. Let me just go ahead and do stand up.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to try it and do it. And my first time ever was at the Comedy Store potluck.
Oh, wow.
On a Sunday or Monday in February of 2003. And at that time, you go there early. I got there at 4 p.m. I got off of work at 3, rushed to the Comedy Store and just sat there until they brought the list out and you sign your name on a list. I was one of the first names.
Right.
And that's the order you pick. They bring out a bucket and you pick tickets out the bucket. And they're numbered 1 through 20, but there's 40 tickets. The other ones are blank.
Mm.
So you draw a number. If it's blank, that it's nothing.
Right.
But if you get a number, that's the order you go in next week.
Oh, the next week.
Next week.
I see.
So they put your name down on the system.
That's kind of a smart way to do it.
Yeah. So I pulled a 19. One of the last, and that's a great number to have at the potluck. You know, it's
near the end.
Everybody's doing 3 minutes.
Right.
But by number 19, there's a decent crowd and there are maybe 12 people or so. So I went up there and just ate shit.
Yeah.
I ate it. So bad. I ate it so bad. This lady in the audience, because at the Comedy Store, there's a blue light. It's a star that goes on when your time's up.
Right.
That's
in
the
which
light.
Room?
The original room, I would say. Not the main room.
Oh, right.
And not the belly room.
Right.
But the original room.
Right.
When you walk into the Comedy Store to the left, that first
up those
room.
Stairs. Yeah. Yeah.
That first room was the first time I ever did stand up, man. And this lady
awesome.
Kept going, not funny, after all my punchlines. Not funny.
No.
And then my light came on. And she goes, your light's on.
No.
Wrap it up. You know,
an audience member?
Yeah.
Holy
it was bad.
Shit.
It was a traumatic experience, but I was addicted.
Right.
So I just kept going. But I just kept doing stand-up out there. There was so much stage time.
Yeah.
7 nights a week, 2 or 3 times a night. If you were hustling, you were going up a lot out there.
Right.
And my first year and a half, that's all I did out there. And then I moved to the Bay, back home. I got a job at a vending machine place and lived with my dad in East Oakland on top of a bar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought your dad wasn't in Oklahoma?
He wasn't in Oklahoma. Oh. No, he lived in the Bay Area.
Oh, wow.
He raised me in San Leandro, but he's from Oklahoma and then got stationed in the Navy in the Bay and then lived here. He loved it.
Right.
My dad's an open-minded dude. He's a very area guy, but he's trapped in Oklahoma's body,
right.
You know? So, he moved back when he retired, moved back to the farm to take care of it because his siblings that were taking care of it passed on and his mom passed on, my grandma. And, you know, there was nobody there to take care of it. So he's still there now
oh,
taking
wow.
care of it. And
What did you think of the Bay Area comedy scene when you get? So you were here like in 2005.
Yes,
probably. Yeah, that was like in this weird. That's right around when I started stand up,
mm-hmm.
and that was like in this. There were like four stages. You know, there's like
50 Mason.
Yeah,
was one of the big ones I would do. There Danny's. Was one on Tuesday that was like right off of I want to say Fell Street, over by the Hate, but not quite the Hate. Oh, it started with the C. Tony Sparks would host it.
Oh.
I remember Ali Wong there a lot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Ali would be in, but there was Annie's Social Club. There's Club Deluxe.
Yeah,
Sam
the Brainwash.
And those guys. And that's right when I started the Remain event was 2000. Remain event started in 2005. And I remember knowing 16 comedians. Like, I just kept booking. There weren't any other comedians to book.
Wow.
You know, you remember that time?
I didn't produce anything. Oh, right. I was just trying to get on stage.
Right. Because I had a weekly show because before the Romaine event, I did the Killing My Lobster Cabaret. It was a weekly event at the Makeout Room on Wednesdays. And then I started the Romaine event after that as a monthly. So trying to find stand-up comics was so hard. Like, but the ones that were around were so good, like Moshe Kasher and Ali Wong and, you know, yourself. You headlined that show.
That was a great show, dude.
That was a fun show.
And now the Elbow Room is...
Ugh. Yeah.
Dude.
We're losing the Hemlock, the Elbow Room. The San Francisco is... We've got fighter planes overhead. We're losing all of our cool bars.
Dude, one more thing I want to tell you. We didn't touch on this in the podcast. So John Wood originally wanted the fucking leg, the skeleton.
He requested
this at the hospital. He wanted the fucking skeleton of the leg.
Right.
That's all he wanted.
That's all he ever wanted.
And then he fucking, this guy, mortician, what's his name?
His name's Dwayne.
Dwayne the mortician shows up with this fucking leg with all these tendons and toenails hanging out of it. And that's not what he wanted. So it's going to cost... $15,000
to get this thing
de-skinned and just the skeleton.
Yeah.
He don't got that kind of money.
No.
You know, the family's not like that rich like that anymore. So he gets this lady.
Oh my God.
This lady heard his story and she
saw him on Judge Mathis.
She saw him on Judge Mathis and she like, I don't know, what does she take roadkill and make it skeletons or something?
Yes.
Like, and she can do the skeletons with like animals and stuff.
Yeah.
And she was like, I want to do this for you for free. So he's like, okay, this lady does it. And there's fucking, he gets it. And he is, it was so funny. Shit. The expression on his face. Cause he wants to be like happy.
Yeah.
But cause she does it for free.
Right.
And you know, she's doing
it's
a good
the
deed.
Expression you give any aunt that gave you a knitted sweater at Christmas.
That's right. It's it was like, that look.
Yeah.
That's a perfect description. And she's like, oh, shit. Yeah,
well, looky there.
Well, it's fucking yellow.
It's disgusting. But it's in a plastic mold.
Yeah, it's in a plastic mold.
It doesn't even stand on its own.
It's just bone, but it's fucking.
Oh, yeah.
It's like bone, but it's yellow. It looks like yellow decayed teeth.
Yeah.
And it's fucking nasty. That foot had bad breath, dude.
It looked like it
needed to floss.
Yeah. Because
there was like little pieces of skin still stuck to it. Oh, it was fucked up.
So nasty.
It was so nasty. And she's like, I want another try at it. Let me have it for a little longer.
Yeah.
And at this point, he's going to his mom's house to have dinner. They haven't seen each other. And they're trying to line it up, the timing. And he's like, you know, he wanted to bring the leg to the thing as a memorial type thing. And,
because he wants to finally put it away.
Put it away and be done with it.
Because
this was his chance to do it at his mom's. And then now he's not going to have it because she's like, let me have it for a little longer to do it. And I bet you she would have done it.
Yeah.
I do. I bet she would. But that's just the story.
Yeah.
The story, you can't let something go easy. So he went back in the house, grabbed this leg from that lady. And he's like, you know what? Let me just have it.
Yeah.
It's cool. Fuck it.
He's like, I think I can clean it.
Yeah, I'll clean it.
He's being so sweet to her.
Yeah.
But it's like, and then he's like, once again, what have I got myself into?
Yeah.
That moment. Because it's like.
He walked outside and was like, holy fuck.
Did you see that?
Oh my God.
Oh man, this whole documentary is about misadventures and poor life choices.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, and it's like a chase scene. This entire documentary also is like this, like psychological chase scenes where they're like chase and stuff throughout this entire movie. It's so fucking awesome. And this is a great, I think, moment to like wrap this up about the doc in itself and Finders Keepers. Do you have any thoughts, closing thoughts about?
Man, hug your loved ones. Let the people around you know you love them. They need it.
True that.
There's people in life that need it, that need a little shine. Give it to them, man. Well, and don't be such a fucking hater.
Yeah, stop being a hater. And here's the other thing that I try to have in my life is you don't know what someone else is going through, even if they're a stranger, man. If you don't know what they're going through in their life, like, fucking just relax.
My own emotional roller coaster watching this documentary about people, like, I hated Shannon, and then I had an endearing moment with Shannon. I hated Peg, and then I had these moments with Peg that she feels this way because she's been through these hardships. It's such a beautiful documentary. I really recommend you guys just watch it, man. Finders Keepers on Netflix.
That's right. Why don't you plug your podcast real quick?
Oh, yeah, man. That's That Podcast with Chris Dorn and DNA. You can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Google Play or whatever. Yeah, I'm not used to this. Yeah. We're on number 13, Paco. But I'm having a great time. I do the podcast with my very good friend DNA. We're getting to know each other. You know, I don't know DNA that well, and that's the beauty of
Does anybody? That.
Yeah, does anybody really know DNA?
Mystery man.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Our theme song was written by David Siegel, and our show was engineered by Will Scovel.
If you want us to cover a doc, have suggestions for guests, or you just want to reach out, please email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.